You're listening to the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. And now, here's Piet Myers with Insights, and the first of four programs on motion pictures and music.
I must have been about six when I was taken by my grandmother to see my first movie. I don't forget it. It was Walt Disney's Pinocchio. Halfway through the film, I was rushed out of the theater, terrified, screaming, traumatized. Now, since then, I've had an aversion to wooden dolls and men with long noses. Well, about a year later, she tried again, and halfway through the film, I was again rushed home, pale-faced, horrified, and hysterical. The film was DeMille's Roman epic, The Sign of the Cross, in which Charles Laughton, as the Emperor Nero, fed choice titbits to his pet lions. Christians. Well, that sort of developed a lifelong ambivalence towards the Vatican, lions, and men dressed in white sheets. But when I was about nine, Gran hit the jackpot. We went to see an old movie, first released in 1935. This time, no hysterics. I sat there, entranced, enchanted, enamored by my first and last screen hero, Fred.
I'm putting on the top hat, tying up a white tie, brushing off my tails. Yeah, I'm dudeing up my shirt front, putting in the shirt studs, polishing my nails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas. For I'll be there, putting down my top hat, mussing up my white tie, and dancing in my tail.
The incomparable Fred Astaire, real name Frederick Austerlitz, and in Top Hat he introduced his famous top hat, white tie, and tails attire, which in fact he hated to wear. The man had a light singing voice, and yet it's the voice that launched some of the finest screen songs ever written. And when he danced, well, he was a Tessicorian titan. Discovering Astaire and Rogers at nine was to open up a whole new world for me, the world of music and dance. And when it came to cinema, a passion for the musicals. Well, in the series of four programs, I'll be exploring various facets of the Hollywood musical. Insights into that magical world of make-believe that lasted for three decades and produced, I must say, some of the most indelible moments in motion pictures. I mean, when you come to think of it, the very first talking picture was a musical. 1927, The Jazz Singer with Al Jolson.
The sun shines west, but I know where the sun shines best. It's on my mammy I'm talking about, nobody else's. My little mammy, my heartstrings are tangled around Alabama. Mammy, I'm coming. I hope I didn't make you wait. Mammy, I'm coming. Oh, God, I hope I'm not late. Mary, don't you know me? It's a little baby. I'd walk a million miles, or one of your smiles, for my mammy.
From the original soundtrack, Al Jolson singing Mammy. And you can imagine how that must have mesmerized audiences when Jolson introduced it in pure sound in 1927. Warner Brothers, who produced the first talkie, took an early lead in developing the form of the movie musical, and at the height of the Depression in the 30s, came up with a stream of films with lavish musical routines, all created by Busby Berkeley, a director and choreographer who proved that the camera could dance. His legendary production numbers, sometimes involving hundreds of dancers, are among the most extravagant and imaginative ever put on celluloid.
We're in the money. we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The sky is sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You done us wrong. Oh, we never see headline above red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. Oh, we're in the money. Come on, my honey. Let's lend it, spend it, send it rolling around.
We're in the money, just one of the popular songs from Gold Diggers of 1933. By now, some of America's finest songwriters were heading for California to write songs specially for the musical film. In 33, as Stan Rogers teamed up for the first time in Flying Down to Rio and introduced a new dance craze, the karaoke. In 34, in The Gay Divorcee, they danced the Continental. And in 35, in Top Hat, Irving Berlin wrote the Piccolino, especially for Ginger Rogers.
Five, the Adriatic waters, Venetian sons and daughters are strumming a new tune upon their guitar. It was written by a Latin, a gondolier who sat in his home out in Brooklyn and gazed at the stars. He sent his melody across the sea to Italy. And we know they wrote some words to fit that catchy bit and christened it the Piccolino. And we know that it's the reason why everyone this season is humming and thrumming a new melody. Come to the casino and hear them play the Piccolino. Dance with your bambino to the strains of the catchy Piccolino. Bring your glass of vino, and when you've had your plate of scallopino, make them play the Piccolino, the catchy Piccolino, and dance to the strains of that new melody. The Piccolino.
And for once, she didn't have to share the spotlight with Fred. And yes, throughout her career, Ginger used her own singing voice. As Stan Rogers revived the fortunes of the old RKO studio and brought style and class to the musical. And then came MGM, the studio that boasted it had more stars than heaven and where the musical was transformed into an art form. Now, that transformation really began with the arrival of Technicolor. Music demands color. And in 1938, the studio began work on a children's story that had already been adapted for the silent screen. The first version was seen in 1910, then another 15 years later. But this time round, MGM, using the new Technicolor process, decided to pull all stops out. And the result was a classic that can still enchant children and adults to this day. And The Wizard of Oz is my starting point in the first of these programs, because even after 50 years, it's one that people never tire of seeing again and again, if not on TV, then on their personal video copy. The film belongs to Judy Garland from beginning to end, and she only got the role of Dorothy because MGM's first choice, Shirley Temple, wasn't available. At 17, Garland was already a star, having played opposite Mickey Rooney in the successful Andy Hardy series. But she had a problem. She was a little too old for the role of Dorothy, and what's worse, her boobs were too big. So in order to make her younger and less mature, for the 18 weeks it took to shoot the film, her breasts were strapped down. We don't call this program Insights for Nothing, child. Well, the film had four directors, would you believe? Two dropped out halfway, and Victor Fleming was called in to finish the job. Now, Mr. Fleming started, but then got a friend by the name of King Vidor to finish the movie. because Fleming was needed to begin work on another film on the next set and in deep trouble called Gone with the Wind. It was Vidor who directed the film's most famous sequence and the song that made Garland a legend. When the film was first shown to the public at a preview in 1939, the studio bosses wanted to edit the song out as they felt it was too slow and held up the story. Fortunately, the dissenters lost, and the musical got one of its immortal moments.
Chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why?
The Oscar winning Over the Rainbow. The song in the film has a whimsical charm that never dates. But when it was first released in Britain, the British Board of Film Censors gave it an adult rating, as it considered The Wizard of Oz unsuitable for children. Garland made 20 films for MGM after Oz and became the dominant female musical personality of the 40s. And if we're talking about great moments in the musical, then this woman, together with her stare, gave us more to cherish than any other. For instance, 1944, aboard that trolley in Meet Me in St. Louis.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heart strings. From the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. His hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death.
Hi, Johnny.
Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Pop, pop, pop went the wheels. Stop, stop, stop went my heart strings. As he started to go, then I started to know how it feels when the just to stand with me.
Garland was 20 when she recorded that classic and married to Vincente Minnelli, the father of Liza, who directed Meet Me in St. Louis. In 48, he was set to direct Garland's next great triumph, Easter Parade, when he dropped out. That Garland ever made the picture was a miracle. Overwork and emotional problems had put her in an asylum prior to shooting. Gene Kelly was cast as her co-star of a broken ankle during rehearsals. In desperation, MGM approached Fred Astaire, who had been in semi-retirement for 2 years. He was 49 at the time and considered over the hill. Now, teaming these two was a stroke of genius. And with a score by Irving Berlin, Easter Parade was box office magic. It had many memorable moments, but this is the perennial favorite.
Wall Street bankers are we, with plenty of currency. We'd open up the safe, but we forgot where we put the key. We're the favorite lads of girls in the picture ads. We'd like to tell you who we kissed last night, but we can't be cats.
The Vanderbilts are waiting at the club.
But how are we to get there? That's the rub. That's the rub.
We would sail up the avenue, but we haven't got a yacht. We would drive up the avenue, but the horse we had was shot. We would ride on a trolley car, but we haven't got the fare. So we'll walk up the avenue, yes, we'll walk up the avenue, yes, we'll walk up the avenue till we're there.
And what a swell couple they were. By 1950, Judy Garland's personal life and career had reached crisis point. Since her first film in 1936, she'd had worked nonstop. Uppers and downers kept her going, and her weight kept fluctuating between obese and slinky. And in her last film for MGM, it showed. Summer Stock was the title of the picture, and next time it turns up on TV, check it out. It's not one of the great musicals, and throughout it, the director tries desperately to hide Garland's overweight appearance by shooting her in close-up or in front of objects that would hide those excess pounds. But then suddenly, in the last production number, she appears with legs bared, thin and sensual. The transformation is startling. What happened was simple. The number was added after the film was completed. Garland was recalled to shoot the song weeks after completion. In that time, she lost weight, more pills, and chalked up another great moment.
Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Chase your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy before the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're gonna be going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's quiet and peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, get happy. Your cares fly away. Shout hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for your judgment day. Come on, get happy. Chase your cares. cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. Lord is waiting to take your hand. Hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. Heading across the river, throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the judgment day.
The dazzling Get Happy number from Summerstock. Well, right after that, MGM began work on the screen version of Annie Get Your Gun, with Garland cast to play the lead. But by now, illness and disputes forced the studio to sack the lady. She was replaced by Betty Hutton, and Annie Get Your Gun was the biggest musical success of 1950. However, before Garland departed from her old studio forever, she had recorded the songs for the film, which were never used and have now become collector's items. Here's a snatch of one, and you can feel that she had reached the end of the road with MGM. It's a lifeless performance of You Can't Get a Man with a Gun.
Oh, my mother was frightened by a shotgun, they say. That's why I'm such a wonderful shot. I'd be out in the cactus and I'd practice all day. And now tell me, what have I got? I'm quick on the trigger with targets not much bigger than the pinpoint of number one. But my score with a feller is lower than a seller.
The song, one of many that we never got to see her sing in Annie Get Your Gun. Garland continued her career on stage and made a film comeback in 54 with A Star Is Born, but her MGM years were her greatest. Now, just as she bowed out, the next lasting influence on the musical film bowed in. Gene Kelly made his dancing debut in 1942, and by the beginning of the 50s, he established himself as Astaire's successor. He was an innovator and revitalized musicals with some of the most dazzling cinematic choreography ever created. And in 1951, his masterpiece, with music by Gershwin. Directed by Minnelli and choreographed by Kelly, An American in Paris is a visual feast. Originally, the film was going to be made in Paris, but that was too expensive, so it was all made on an MGM lot in California. Fortunately, two Parisians were in the cast, Leslie Caron making her debut, and singer Georges Guattari, who never made another film in Hollywood, but shared with Kelly an unforgettable duet. But with this song, who could go wrong?
Oh, Adam, to be in love is to be alive. Jerry and I, we are so lucky, eh, Jerry?
Adam is right. There's nothing like it.
C'est formidable.
C'est magnifique.
Ha!
It's wonderful. It's marvelous. She should care for me. So for nice. It's paradise. What I love to see. She's made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, it's wonderful. It's marvelous that she should care for me. Wonder.
wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's marvelous.
Marvelous.
She should care for me. Awful nice.
Awful nice.
Paradise.
Paradise.
What I love to see. Feeling amorous.
It's wonderful.
It's marvelous that she should care for me.
A wonderful, uplifting moment from a wonderful film that went on to win 6 Oscars in 51. A year later, Kelly was back in what is regarded as the most popular film musical of them all, Singing in the Rain. The famous number where he dances in a downpour is an all-time favorite. Making it was hell, as it's a scene that took ages to perfect, and each day Kelly would turn up at the studio and earn his money under thousands of gallons of studio rain. Now, of all the Hollywood musicals, in terms of what went on behind the scenes, this is the most fascinating, and I shall be returning to it in a later program. But as the finale to this one, let's just concentrate on the song, which was written by the film's producer, Arthur Freed. He wrote the lyrics, and Herb Nacio Brown wrote the music. It first appeared on screen in an early talkie, The Hollywood Review of 1929, sung by the long-forgotten Cliff Edwards.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love.
Well, the song appeared again in 1932, sung by Jimmy Durante, and yet again in 1940, sung by Judy Garland. And yet none of those performances caught the public's imagination. Not till 52, when an inspired dancer, singer, took it under his wing and created one of cinema's most enduring musical moments.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. Just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in.
the song that can make even a monsoon memorable. Gene Kelly, Doobie-Dooing in the Rain. And that was the first of our four-part series on motion pictures and music, written and produced by Pete Myers. Technical production, Floris van Hoorn.